awoke at the very early hour of 5, in time for the supposed 7 a.m. return ferry. Resumed sleep naturally till 6:40, and panic rushed, packed, reaching the ferry shortly after 7. This one morning, fortunately for me, was leaving at 8. So what? Just sit back and watch the multicolored, multi-sized fishes swim back and forth beneath the rustic jetty, and as they frequently broke the surface in search of, and the digestion of, those insects clumsy enough to skim the surface. Oh, what a perilous profession for those so foolish. But the real joy that early morning was at the various levels of cumuli which had raised their too frequently tantalizing claws from the clutches of those mountain ridges. It was a gorgeous sight, and well worth the patience of 5 days. Yeah, but where was the camera, you may ask? Very deep, of course, very deep in the great rucksack. Having returned to the mainland, the next real problem, being real only in relation to the hyperactivity of the previous 5 days. Where was I going? Secondly, how was I to get there? Despite many hours of detailed planning, I hadn't the faintest idea. Please pardon the background noise, but I can't control them. Of the two most likely points of destination, one was rejected because it was, or at least appeared to be, very similar in concept to that of Tiumen Island. So now, how to get to the second choice? Besides the very efficient bus service, as I've already referred to, a very popular way of covering long distance, and whilst in itself dearer than the extremely cheap bus service, is relatively cheap form of transport, and that is what is referred to as a shared taxi, which I will describe. Upon disembarking, I found one, a house, with two passengers, yes, heading the same way as myself, to the town called Kuantan, some 200 kilometers northwards. We then literally, three of us plus the driver, drove around the little village of Mersing looking for a fort. There being a required 4 people to go, we wanted to go the same way. But in 20 minutes of asking and stopping at various points, we eventually caught one who wanted to go to Kuantan, and we were off. The scenery was in general quite repetitive, very little agricultural development, very little much else, other than a scattering of dwellings, and only 2 sizable one-street villages along the way. Of note was a decline in the usage of English in advertising, signs, etc. And that thing is about to get strangled. We were starting to pass into a more rural, more conservative, less exposed to development society. I suppose most rural societies, like most developed ones, process along the same, possess the same characteristics, or at least similar characteristics. The nature of Kuantan, which is in itself an administrative capital of a province, reinforces the impression gained during that 200 kilometer drive. It offers little to excite, to inform, to educate the new arrival, or to retain or detain a passing tourist. A pleasant river passes through it, one of many along the coast itself. The town, which fronts upon one side of the river, a bank, also providing a home to a series of hawkers' stalls. 2 streets further back from the river is a further series of stalls, offering a completely different range of food, this time Chinese and Malay, as compared with the Hindu and Muslim of the riverbank stalls. It was in this latter market that I realized, sitting back, sitting like folk, that I was the only European there. What isolation. In retrospect, it appears that the more southern areas, like the west coast, are far more exposed to external affairs to tourists, leaving the quiet, more than a quarter of places such as this to its own devices. The major improvements to the road network system will more than likely open up this area both to the Singapore South and the Thai North. One less favourable aspect of this pending development, an apparent rejection of the status quo, a rebellion process, silent rebellion, the many youngsters hyper-revving their bikes along the streets at their quiet, relatively quiet evening. A pleasant eating delight to the taste buds. Difficult to convey proverbially, although I did contemplate sending some back in a little plastic bag. The dessert called the Air Kasang. Shaved ice, flavorless. Very tasty. Sitting on top of a concoction of jelly and juice base. Pray accept my words, otherwise I shall be forced to send some back in a plastic bag. This dessert needs to be experienced to believed. And like, no, I'm going to finish on that. I was going to say something about it. We shall now proceed to Monday. You know, we're fast approaching the end of the second week, believe it or not. A walk around the town on Monday morning, confirming yesterday's impressions. And a departure at 10 for a 3.5 hour trip this time to another fishing village called Marani. Passed by the Turtle Beach. Turtles had already left in August this year. More industrial developments in the oil and gas format. A steelworks as well. Again, not too much heavy traffic despite it being a normal working day. Very little agricultural development. And yet lots of rivers full of water, not a benefit of the monsoon season. The fishing port itself was quiet, busily engaged in repair work with a general run-down feeling. Old wooden buildings, corrugated roofings again, no paint. Harbour improvements taking place. Little state of development, you may think. What are the prospects like in this little village? A new budget hotel, one of six in the region, proudly proclaimed on the construction site. But the beach itself is dirty. Maybe that is seasonal, but it creates an unfavorable impression for somebody passing through. Few street signs, directional signs, most annoying. To pass under one of these you are here signs to find that you are technically in two separate spots. It all seems to revolve back to a small black backwater place trying to break into the tourist market without getting that infrastructure right in the first place. I wonder, is there a business opportunity in tourist consultancy? To date, thinking back, the East Coast has offered and provided an interesting range of contrasts and reflects the normal. It is normal to be defined in the same way as moderate, I wonder. Normal conflicts within developing societies, the old and the new, the problems of change. I wonder, will the trend continue as I head further north? For this time to be only a short distance from the following Tuesday. But about Marai, just offers a different perspective of society in transition. The following morning, I took the local bus into the provincial capital of Terengganu. The town itself called Kuala Terengganu, a town supposedly benefiting from the recent discovery of oil and gas, probably was what I passed through just further south. It sits upon a wide estuary, which is currently the object of a major silting clearance exercise caused by the recent construction of a dam some 15-20 kilometers upstream. Parts of the town retain a quiet, old-world charm, such as the pharmacy shops. Cedar repellent again. Old-world, predominantly Chinese-run, stocked to the help of traditional remedies, competing with new-world drugs. and at the same time, they're all forming part of this bustling little town. And this usual form of accommodation in the form of what is called Harvey's Guest House was to be my home for two nights. It is situated on an island called Pudu Dayang in the middle of the estuary, about a 5-minute ferry trip, in an old ferry that is, capable of carrying some 20 passengers, powered by one of the first of the engines, and steered by a skipper, I think, who sits at the front. With a connection, that is a steering connection to the rear engine, being by a wire rope along both sides, and a central operation, open to the public view. Very reliable though, see those little ropes going back and forth. The island itself is home to the local fishing industry, and more importantly, a boat building industry. Small boats, that is, not ocean going temples. On my first afternoon on this island, I took a walk around all of the old houses, and there being few of the modern construction, are built on stilts, varying between 3 and 8 feet in height, supposedly for religious reasons, although in practice I think more for to deal with combat the rising waters occasionally. These buildings are constructed of wood and corrugated sheeting, so typical in this part of the world, clearly reflecting its considerable age, with little upkeep and maintenance. The interiors, where visible from the roads, are very Spartan. An unusual feature, certainly by Malaysian standards to date, being the absence of, or at least a very low number, of TV aerials jutting out from the roofs. The people are friendly in appearance and outlook, but communication itself is totally impossible other than in the form of sign language, as when I tried to buy a few bits and pieces at one of the few shops. In reality, the shop itself was a converted small room inside of a house. The houses in the main randomly scattered, chaotically scattered, in fact, and to walk between them is to wander like through a maze, wondering, am I heading the right way? There are no roads to speak of on the island, only dirt tracks. But there is electricity. Yes, for a modern device, and recently running water. In essence, this is a very far removed from Yuppie Dump, and gives one the feeling of a genuine working island. As you see, the boat building and boat repair work taking place before you, fishing nets being repaired in readiness for a season to come. The guest house itself, which I mentioned just recently, you may well ask. It is built in stilts over the river itself, in close proximity of the bank. Not the commercial bank. There is no commercial bank. It is a roughly square-shaped, walking platform with various rooms built, each overlooking the river. There are some basic cooking facilities, as there is no other food available for sale on the island. The shower facility, yes, I must describe this, was my first introduction to the traditional, regionally common mandi. Yes, that's what I said. Large tank and drum containing water and a floating ladle. Fill the ladle and douse yourself. It's pretty simple for a shower. And don't step too near the long drop, which is a square hole in the wooden floor. After you finish, a few ladles of water to clear the wooden floor, and you're off. Needless to say, swimming in the river was not something that was too attractive, let alone even considered. Once you may describe the system as primitive, it is, in fact, both functional and hygienic, except for the river, that is. I think that is where most of the problems come in with overpopulation. The mosquito net that night was well appreciated, having regard to the nature of the setting and its aquatic surroundings. Yes, officially 2 weeks have elapsed as Wednesday the 8th dawns. funny that that thing felt time would fly so quickly and so pleasantly. But then at the same time, when 10 nights were spent between Singapore and Tioman, 4th of July for dinner, cockaloo. It's fair to say that I've really only started on this trip now. Today was to be a day of exploration. It was to be a bit more frustrating than most events. Crossing to the mainland again by the same ferry, the central market was to be found busy. But this tourist, namely yours truly, seemed to be more of a novelty than an attraction in itself. The Tourism Information Centre was nearby in a very imposing building, done, designed pleasantly in a traditional style, but offering so little. Upon their advice, warmly offered, I took a visit to the silk weaving factory, with the local bus service being very helpful in finding the place. I pointed the map, I pointed where I wanted to go, and eventually I was dropped off directly outside this building. A coincidence or not, I do not know, but there I was, conveniently situated in the middle of an industrial estate, at some 5 to 7 kilometers from town. There was no organized tourism itself, just a limited demonstration and a brief overview. That was the one on the other side of the garden, and a brief overview of the works. The absence of English compounded the difficulty in gaining an understanding and resolving questions about what was in fact taking place. Certainly, it's very frustrating from a tourist perspective when you're trying to gain an understanding of what the blazes are up to. A visit to the State Museum, the building itself in more need of renovation, although I understand it's shortly to be relocated to a grand new building just up the river. Few exhibits would be found with English descriptions, and a general lack of cohesion or structure in the layout made it seem somewhat chaotic and planned. Lunch, day, great fun was to be had, great in ordering. Yes, not knowing what I was getting, finding something from a menu, something that looked different or sounded different by the name of it or how it was to be pronounced. Yes, at least the selection of juices is a lot easier. All come out refreshing, good quality, and of considerable variety and range. Certainly makes soft drink consumption a very pleasant experience. What does air carol mean to you? It looks good, smells fine, and it tastes excellent. But don't ask me what on earth was in it. Not for trying to find out what was in it, but that's a different kettle of fish. I think it could have been carrot juice. A new fruit, tried today, is called a PJ, purchased at the local market. And my pronunciation must again be forgiven. This fruit is brownie coloured, hard shell, about the size of a grapefruit. Opening it, we find a whole pot of red coloured, sweet tasting, small segments. Far smaller than grapefruit segments. Taste buds wait again. And so on we go to the following day and Thursday. So a longer drive, this time of some 250 kilometers. Taking us about 3 hours to the northeastern corner of Malaysia and the province of Kelantan, meaning the land of lightning. It is one of the poorest, in material terms, provinces in Malaysia, but claims to have the strongest sense of spiritualism. It is certainly Malaysia, at its most Malay, most conservative and traditional. The capital town of this province called Kota Baru, not to be confused with the Johor Bahru in the southern part from whence I crossed from Singapore. It is a very conservative town and far more traditional than any of those which I've come across to date, in particular places like Kuantan or the previous night's accommodation. My abode for the next few days, next 4 days in fact, was to be Rabana's guest house, about 3/4 of 1 kilometer from the city centre, situated just off one of the main roads. The entrance, which is just next the owner's house, fronting the road, leads you into a magical garden, or is it a semi jungle? With chairs and several small tables scattered beneath and amongst a range of trees, bushes, shrubs, you have a secret plan to close in on the pathways themselves. Returning later that evening, the magic has come to life, has scattered, nothing in strict order of any form again throughout, with several ornaments, which, when combined with the anti-mosquito calls, situated in trays in the ground, emitting thin flakes of smoke to keep the mosquitoes away, whilst the gently pleasant cacophony of night sounds played out their parts like in a grand orchestra. This evening was approved to start in an orgy of taste bud excitement, starting with the immune section of the food stalls with a fish dish, followed by half a bunch of bananas, my mouth lifted, separated from my head, and melted into the distance. It was pleasant in itself, but contained a polite warning. Be warned. On to the main stalls, which covered an area, normally during the day a car park, covering an area about the size of 1.5 football fields. Alleyways of food stalls and fresh fruit, cooked fish and meats and cakes. My taste buds were queuing up for the array of some 40 different cakes that adorned one stall itself. Even 5 a day. Settle back for more fish in the form truck called a steamboat. Select from some 20 different types of fish on skewers. Have them boiled in water till they're ready. Select your own sauce. How hot you want, you know, that kind of thing. Nice, good fun. And on we go. Friday, definitely. A different day altogether. It's like a Sunday in rural Ireland. It's a Muslim form of Sunday. All official buildings, including the different museums, been shut. The mosque loudspeaker has been more active than normal. The main market in town, a large octagonal building, was getting into full swing at about 10 or 11 that morning. This has certainly been the best market to date. The ground floor, being a ground floor in a three-story building, was for the meat, fish and vegetables, with every spare inch covered by produce. An atrium in the center rises up through the other two floors, adding light, noise, and general pandemonium to the bustling atmosphere. The first floor contained the general goods and eatery, while the second was silk, batik, songket, it being a fabric woven with strands of gold or silver thread. Each of the floors contained 7 passageways arranged in concentric form around the atrium. Each passageway was about some 400 to 450 meters in length, with stalls on both sides. It was humongous, the range of goods on display, with very little repetition from stall to stall. The Saturday and Sunday combined the form of lazy days, tasting the food, reading the local papers, updating this wonderful diary, which I hope is giving you some pleasure listening to. Yes, should have left on Sunday, but the ticket is already booked for Monday, being a busy bus train. As we head west, yes, west towards the town and city of Penang, meaning Betelnut is situated just off the west coast. Some 9-hour journey. And we will now sign off for now. Seems a pity to leave this table go to west. So I will simply leave it on the table so you can pick up the passing sounds. Whatever may happen.